You love your big ass drill, huh?
Yeah, a big drill. And with that drill, we're going to pierce the heavens.
Hey folks, it's Kara Mahorn, aka The Blurred Girl, and welcome back to The Blurred Girl Podcast. Now this is another throwback episode when host, gamer, and comedian Ify Nwadwe stopped by the show. Now before we go any further, please take a moment to like and subscribe to this podcast over on iTunes or your favorite podcatcher, because that really helps the show out. And if you're feeling super special, you can screenshot this episode and tag me in a post on IG Stories. I always like responding to those. And don't forget about the Blurred Girl Patreon page, patreon.com/theblurredgirl. I'm now posting everything from exclusive content to a weekly newsletter and tutorials on how I do what I do. The Patreon directly helps support the live show and the production of this podcast. Now, my guest, Ify Nwadwe, does about 900 things. I saw him first as a comedian, and then I realized what a geek he was when I heard him co-host the Nerdificent podcast with Danny Fernandez. Now, as you'll hear on this episode, he does a bunch of stuff. In fact, since this recording, Ify has started another podcast called My First Kicks. He stays busy. But this interview actually has a really funny intro, so let's pay some bills. And up next, my interview with writer, gamer, and host, Ify Nwadwe. Listen, if you have bad credit or no credit, I'm telling you, the Self Credit app is a way to build your credit history. Now, after the dumpster fire that was 2020, as well as some mounting health insurance bills that I had from years ago, my credit was pretty much tanked. And I was able to raise it 35 points since the beginning of this year. I'm not exaggerating. 35 points, and it's so simple to use. You simply open a self-credit builder account and deposit a small amount of money in it. And then for as little as $5 a month, you pay the money back automatically through the app. Then Self reports your credit to all three credit agencies. That's it. It's that simple. Like, I don't even think about it, and my credit has jumped 35 points. Low credit, no credit, it doesn't matter. Use the Self app today and build your credit and savings and get back on track. It's available on iOS as well as Android. I have a link in my show notes for anyone who's interested. Check it out. Welcome back to the show, folks. My guest this hour is energetic, passionate, and hilarious. Listen, he's written for everything. Late night, animation, interactive content. He's done stand-up and improv at festivals around the country. He's done acting. He's been in film. He's been on TV. He hosts three podcasts. And when he's not busy with all of that, he plays video games live right here on Twitch. Welcome to the show, Ify Shakuda Ijeoma Nwadwe. Yay!
Ooh, wow, you nailed that. You nailed the full thing like that. You know, not many people can do that. People get stuck.
Listen, I too have an African name that people can't say, even though three letters are exactly the same. I practiced, I will admit that. But I also, growing up, my mother always said, we weren't allowed to have nicknames. So my mother always said, if they can't say your name, they don't care. Yeah. So if they don't take the time to learn your name, they don't care. So I practiced because I care.
Oh, well, thank you so much. You don't. I feel like that rule stops once you break 13 letters. I think it's like, no, they care. They just ain't got the time. I'm one of those people who like, I'm like, get it out, get it out. You know, when you're talking to someone.
I said most of your name, but I know for a fact that that's not your full name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ify Shakuda Ijeoma Nwadwe. You got it. There it is.
Now everybody in the chat has been blessed. And you will all make money and have so many children. This is
yes. Prepare. It's coming. A big wave.
So I've been a fan of yours since Nerdificent, the podcast that you did with Danny Hernandez. And I love your voice, love your personality. But I was also like, oh, look, somebody else black that's a geek that doesn't talk about being black all the time that can talk about their geekdom. Which was also the thing I loved about that show. But you do like 900 things. I'm curious how you've been able to keep your head on straight and relax during this lovely pandemic slash horrible game of Jumanji that we're stuck in.
I mean, it's you know, really, it's just kind of doing as much as I can to the capacity that I can, and kind of taking on taking things on, and sometimes things do slip through the cracks. That's the problem when you do too much, is sometimes things do slip through the cracks. But I think for me, I just always want to have as many things going, because I feel like that just has your options, you know, it keeps your options open. You know, like a lot of the prominent nerd celebrities will say, lots of times, yes,
you are a nerd celebrity. We are.
I definitely was not referring to myself. I just mean in general, like your Nerdists, your Orlando Jones and such. Usually, like, you know them as an actor or a writer, but then they also do their nerd things as well. And that's kind of the footsteps I wanted to follow in, where it's like, yeah, you know, of course I do stand up, I write, I act, but also when I'm not doing that, why not see me, you know, play video games on the internet? Why not, you know, see me talking about nerdy things? Because, you know, those things are all there. And then it's almost like this weird thing where, to justify me doing all my hobbies, I have to also kind of make it work as well. That's kind of how I got into, yeah.
You got to make money doing it. Otherwise, how else are you going to afford the new iPhone?
You know, I got the iPhone as soon as it came out in the gold. I got, especially.
Are y'all peeping this flex?
Yeah. That's why I was hyped about it, because I was, this was my favorite shape of the iPhone, is the beveled one. So yeah. Peep it, read it, and weep. It's a good, delicious iPhone. Enjoy. Yeah,
see, this is how you know he's famous, because he just put his big old expensive ass iPhone in the screen. when I grow up, I want to be iffy.
I'm just a dumb goofy dude.
But what's interesting, I think also, and I'm curious if this happened to you this summer, when everybody had, you know, amidst everything that was going on, and all of a sudden people showing up talking about, we love all Black people, and everybody getting Black boxes. Did you get a bunch of phone calls?
Calls. I don't get too many. And I think it's because I talk very spicy on the TL. Like people, I think, are afraid to come at me like that. I mean, there were a few opportunities where, you know, people have reached out, and but like in the most part, like you know, people know that I'm a wild out. And it was like, if you bring me on to talk about this, you're going to get the raw stuff. And, you know, more power to the people who do hit me up and do allow me to talk about these things. And, you know, Tanya, the past Cypher of Tear on Twitter, she's always holding it down. And that was kind of the first time I got to, like, you know, in a forum talk about it. And the first time I've wanted to, like, there were some people who, you know, invited me to say things, and I just kind of wasn't in the space to, you know, kind of get into it. But then when Tanya was doing it, and knowing that it was like, okay, these are all these Black nerds kind of talking about this and what we go through. Yeah. I'm a definitely sit down with y'all and chop it up. But yeah, no, for the most part, yeah, I didn't get too much of that heat. And that's the wild thing, right? Because, like, there's an element where, like, you know, I am hyped seeing, like, as wild as the reason for this opportunity is, people getting more opportunities. But I think you're pointing out something important about it, of it being fleeting, where it's like in that moment, you're getting all these calls, people want you to talk, and people want you to do this. And then as soon as, you know, the media buzz around Black Lives dies down, your phone lines dry. You know, and that's something that I think definitely needs to stop happening. And I think if it doesn't stop happening, definitely needs to be called out. We need to call out these folks and really put them on the spot. I think, you know, I've had friends who had people kind of hit them up like that. And she was like, well, how many Black people do you have on staff? How many black people do you normally hire for these things? And are you just hiring me now? Because, and like, that's a hard convo to have, because in the end, especially this year when there's a pandemic, jobs were kind of scarce around here. It's very hard to kind of like see this opportunity and kind of try and call these things out because you don't want to lose it. So, you know, shout out to the people that can, that do. I'm never going to, you know, press anyone for taking an opportunity because we all got to eat, but absolutely. You know, it is, you know, people who are in the position to kind of call it out, you know.
But I will say this, I agree. I think that door is shutting, but if you do have an opportunity to get in, I do think at this moment, it is your responsibility to hold that door open.
Mm-hmm.
At least crack, at least get the information so that somebody comes behind you, because I mean, I'm more in the comic book space than gaming, as you heard. Everybody and their mother wants to see me get on this platform and fail. I have a problem with that. I'd like to fail 7,500 times in the privacy of my own home before I get online and start, because I'll be the one to, like I said, use a rocket launcher too close to the wall. Anyway.
Look, it happens to the best of us. It happens to the best of us. You shouldn't feel guilty about it. It happens to me many times.
But what I will say is, in terms of comics, I got that too. I got a lot of people who are like, oh, this has a black protagonist and this is a black woman on the cover. And this is, and I'm like, right. The team though, your company, how many people of color you got there? And I tell people, if you pause, if you clear your throat when I ask that question, you know, don't.
I mean, that's.
And I'm not saying that I only cover comics and stuff that have black people in them, but if that's the energy you're coming to me with, like, don't you like this because it's got a black girl on it? Mm-hmm. I'm going to come back to you with, great, where's the black girl that drew it?
Yeah. And I think that's very important, especially, you know, as a creator, you know, it's interesting, right? Because, a lot of people will wonder, like, oh, why do you have to have, you know, this black role? Why can't the representation be enough? And I can just tell you, just period point blank, that the stories are just going to be completely different. Why are you going to have someone try and imagine a lived experience as a black woman when you can have a black woman who's lived that experience do it? And that's why you had so much more kind of a powerful take on Black Panther when someone like Ta-Nehisi Coates takes over, when someone, you know, who has really kind of taken it in. And it would be, you know, like it would be interesting to have, you know, all these people kind of speak to it. Like, if you have in America, like, cool, yes, you have this Latinx woman, you know, with the American flag in their outfit, but unless it's a Latinx woman writing it, you know, like, you know what I mean? Who's like, what does that really offer in terms of the actual like realness of it? Because it's like my favorite thing. I said this once, I forgot when I said this, but I'll say it again because I don't mind saying it as many times as I have to. But, you know, black people will read something or watch something and immediately know if a black person wrote it. We'll be able to suss it out immediately, no matter how much, you know, you wanna try and learn the lingo and stuff. We'll just know, just because off of simple, you know, interactions, and it, just that, and that translates, and when you get that authenticity, you get that relatability to who you're trying to reach, which are people of color. But then you also get that different take on a story that will make it interesting to anyone. So. I agree with you wholeheartedly.
I also think that sometimes, and I've gone through this a couple of times this summer, where it's like, we really want you to come on this panel and talk about black whatever. And I'm like, you know what? Today, I can't, this week, I'm not doing that. This week, I'm just caramel.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's been a very traumatic few months, and I am a workaholic. I don't know if you can, you know, relate to that at all.
Yeah, no, but, not at all. I'm lazy. I like sleep.
But I have a hard time winding down. And so I found myself anxious quite a bit over this summer and realizing, oh, I need to stop. Okay.
Yeah. Well, especially when you think about it, if you're a workaholic, you're working, 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 you haven't even taken the time yourself to process what's going on. So your first time actually digesting and processing this will be on stage in front of people trying to explain what's going on. That's what you have to watch out for. And that's the thing is it, that's really what it is. It's not even necessarily not wanting to talk about it, but you're putting yourself in a tough spot because now you are opening yourself to finally digesting this information that's been going on and kind of finally emotionally dealing with it in a public space instead of in your privacy, dealing with it and being able to talk about it. And I think that's also interesting too, because yeah, you have these like spaces where it's like, look, I'd love to come on and talk about what it's like being a Black writer or a Black actor, Black creator. But a lot of times, yeah, and especially in the summer, it was like being a Black person in America. And it was like, well, this is a conversation I've been trying to have forever. And at this point, I'm tired of having it. I get why it does bear repeating, because it's not like everyone's going to see every time I talk about it. But there is a point where I'm like, you Google it this time.
Yeah, I definitely felt my mask slipping. Like I had people, and I don't mean my literal mask. I mean like that mask that you wear if you're trying to be professional or whatever. When I had people complaining, oh my God, I'm so tired of the pandemic. I'm so tired of being treated like a second class citizen. I'm so tired of being ignored. And I'm like, you've only been treated like a Black woman for 30 days. Pipe down, baby.
Yeah.
Like I can't. I know.
It's just... some people, it's just so hard to, because it really is like some folks can't imagine what it's like to just not have your needs met. And honestly, it's not necessarily a slight against them if that's all you're used to in your life, that's all you're used to. But it is funny because it is like someone, you know, who's been having a great meal every day. And then one day it's taken a while to get there. And they're next to someone who hasn't eaten in 30 days. And they're like, man, I am getting hungry. I haven't ate since this morning. And the person who hasn't eaten in 30 days is like, oh, okay. Uh-huh. Cool. That's nice. Must be nice.
Thanks. Yeah. And you're throwing it away. Okay. Cause it's carbs. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
Let's talk about these 5011 jobs you got. So let's start with the thing that you had. So Nerdificent ended this year, right? Ended earlier.
So we ended it early this year. We got like pretty busy between the both of us and, you know, trying to record during the pandemic. And then we've been doing it for almost 2 years. So we both kind of decided that it's probably a good time to take it in for a landing, set it down instead of just trying to like struggle to do it while doing everything that we're doing, especially, you know, Danny, you know, developing and doing all that stuff. So, so it definitely was like, yeah, we were like, we got to get out.
It's time to go. But then you were also doing Who Shot Ya. Now, did you get on to Who Shot Ya this year? Or was that last year?
That was last year. So it's last year, because I finally hit a year, I think this year, where we've been doing it. Ricky Carmona, his schedule started picking up, so they needed a new host. And so I came on and guest hosted a few times, and they asked me to do it. And I was like, yeah, because up until doing Who Shot Ya, I kept being like, I wish I watched more movies. I wish I had time to watch more movies. You play video games. There's always an excuse, right? That keeps you from watching movies. So it was another one of those things where I kind of like, you know, I was like, okay, well, by doing this podcast, I'll have to watch at least one new movie a week. And so that's kind of was the story with that. And it was so great.
So you've done over 100 episodes. So that means over 100 movies. I do like this podcast. I really do.
Oh, wow.
You were watching Shaun of the Dead, I think.
Yes. We're doing.
I thought that was hilarious for a pandemic.
Yeah, it was hilarious, and it was like slightly fitting, you know, like I think a lot of people have kind of like flipped into like, oh, what's a movie that kind of like is a great allegory for the pandemic? But that one is fun because there's like, it's a zombie movie with at least a bit of a happy ending. Mm-hmm. I feel like a lot of zombie movies typically are like, oh, nope, we're dead. We're doomed. It's over. And that's one of the reasons I like a lot of Korean zombie movies, because those yes. usually end with like good endings. So
I'm a huge fan of, it was the period one, Kingdom.
Oh, I haven't seen Kingdom yet. So
you have to see Kingdom. You're thinking, I guess you were talking about like Train to Busan.
Train to Busan, Alive, you know, like yeah. it always is like, okay, cool. In the end, we're good. And I think, you know, American zombie movies is like, nah, this is the apocalypse. It is the end of the world. And,
yeah. And
you know, I feel like watching stuff like that during the pandemic is kind of a bummer. So like watching something like Shaun of the Dead, where also in that movie, it's like, cool. You know, we do find a way to make this work.
Yeah, the funny thing about those two, I'm also fans of those, you know, two actors. But I think if you can, when you get a moment, this is for everybody in the chat, it's on Netflix. It's called Kingdom. There's two seasons. It's a period piece that is a mm-hmm. Korean zombie movie. And it's one of those series. And it's one of those series. And I'm not going to give it away, but the way people become zombies, the reasons for it, is the most creative thing I've ever seen. And it's Ooh. Awesome. It's awesome. And All right. also have this warring factions of two different kingdoms, of a king that is trying to control his people. And he finds out and tries to harness this zombie plague. Like, think about that, trying to harness a plague, you know. But it's, we can see how well that's working. You know, now, but this, I think what takes the sting out of it is also that it's a period piece, but it is so well done. And everybody I talk to goes, but it's a period Korean, really? And I'm like, just watch it. And everybody who watches it loves it. So put that on your list. But you also have, well, Fiona Nova, who was mm-hmm. On the show recently, because I had the Rooster Teeth red versus blue team here. You do a show on Twitch with her also, Fiona and Iffy, effing around with Fiona and Iffy. That's, again, playing more games, right?
Yeah. Playing more games is like, you know, now we're playing more games. Originally, it was like half podcast, half gaming. Mm-hmm. And now it's, you know, we're in this new quicker time slot where we're gaming. But same thing, same energy, just kind of more of a chill, laid back gaming show where we're just getting into a lot of nonsense while just talking about whatever we want. And that's typically the vibe of almost anything I'll get into, which is like, you know what, like what's something I can do that is just chill and fun?
Yeah, no, and I in fact, she heard you were coming on the show. I gotta read this note that she DM'd me. She said, bro, you still suck at Among Us, but you'll always be her favorite person, even though you always vote her out.
Wow. Doesn't that sound like somebody who should be voted out every time? See, I'm actually great at it. So I don't know what she was talking about. I straight up killed her and all the members of Red versus Blue. So I don't know what she's even talking about. She's making up tattletales and stories.
You heard that, Fiona? So you got to come mm-hmm. back on the show and rebut that, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so that's a podcast and a kind of a Twitch show, two podcasts. You have there's a third one. You have another podcast also, right?
Yeah. So we had, you know, Nerdificent, you know, press F to pay respects, mm-hmm. Who Shot You? And then I had a Candy Dinner, which was a personal podcast I had with my buddy Matt Apodaca. And we've been friends since high school, and we both do comedy, and it was just like a fun weekly check-in comedy podcast that was a little bit about nothing. But I edited it, and editing podcasts right now in with all the digital recordings is a nightmare, because there's all the latency issues in the recording. There's all these gaps and you know, spaces. So yeah, it's I just said we're gonna wait till we can get back in the studio, because I don't want to have to learn to edit that. So
yeah, there, and for take it from somebody who has to edit most of her own stuff, I have a Patreon coming, y'all, because I need to hire some people. But I'm a video editor from way back, so that part doesn't, except for looking at myself, the editing part doesn't bother me so much. But yeah, the audio editing, I will say this, there's an app called Descript that has been a huge help, because it can take out some of the gaps. It also can transcribe and give you, when you're done with your edit, you can edit right in. It's like editing a Word document, but it's also editing your audio with it. I am not affiliated with them. I'm just saying this is what I use, and it's taken a lot of the pain and the sting out of it. It's not making me necessarily put my podcast out any faster, because I have 357 things I'm doing, but I'm trying. And that's why I don't want a game, because like I said, I'm a fighting game person. I'm used to sitting down. That's why they were teasing me. I like fighting games. I like to just stop, sit down, beat somebody up, kill somebody, whatever, Tekken, Mortal Kombat, Street Fighter, whatever. And then I'm done and I walk away. RPGs, you want me to grind? You're asking me these questions. I ask questions for a living. I'm tired. and my boyfriend's a huge Mass Effect fan, and I'm like, oh my God, can I just watch the cutscenes? Because this is a lot. This is a lot.
I know. Yeah, it could be a lot, but you know, it's also very fun, might I say. Yes,
but and that's why he is my own personal Twitch stream. I just set up and watch him play games when I'm taking a break. So tell me about your newest show, Super Punch, because I was like, all right, let me check this out. And I'm like, okay, Super Punch, Twitch. Okay, it's not there. Go over to TBS. Okay, it's only there on Fridays. Okay, go back to Twitch. What is this show? Where is this show? And how do I watch it?
Originally when it first started, it's been going on all year, and there's been a few changes, but originally when it first started, I was hosting the Monday through Thursday show that took place on Twitch. So on Twitch, the Super Punch page, it would be a late night show hosted by me. The Friday night show host would come on and do bits with me, and we'd have guests. And then on Friday on TBS, the three hosts there would host it. And then after a few changes and different things in the last iteration of it, I became one of the Friday hosts. And now we stream each host streams once a week on the E-League channel. And then on Friday, you see our show, but it's live to tape. We don't do it live anymore, just because, you know, pandemic and making sure everything, works right. So
you're actually in a studio.
No, we're all doing it digitally from our home studios. So that's why I was able to get the crisp video, was because, you know, all the upgrades. But yeah, so it's been fun. It's been a blast.
Okay. So basically, if I do play Among Us or one of these shows or one of these games like Fall Guys, I get screw up or whatever and fall out of my chair, I can send you my clip.
Yes. So you can go to the...
And then you will embarrass me on purpose.
Yeah, that's pretty much where you can submit your clip. I mean, you did the embarrassing. You offered the clip up to us. It makes us laugh, and it could make it on TV.
And that's the voting part, seeing who's screw-ups. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see? Oh, God.
See? It's all that good stuff.
It is. It's terrifying. So there's a lot of shows and new things that are being rebooted, coming out, things like that. A lot of stuff getting pushed, but there are a few things that are actually coming out this week that I wanted to ask you about. What were you an Animaniacs fan?
When
you were younger?
Oh yeah, I loved, you know, the WB's cartoon, you know, segment, afternoon cartoons, before they all got kind of dominated by the Cartoon Networks and Nickelodeon. They were undefeated, and Animaniacs was great because it was that perfect, level of like having something both for, you know, kids and if you're an adult, you know, adult. Like there was a Prince reference in the show. No kids were going to get that.
Nope. No, it's fantastic. Yeah. So it's coming back this week. That as well as Fresh Prince. Do you remember Fresh Prince? I know you're only 22, but you might have watched some reruns.
I am not. You took 10 years off my age, and I thank you for that. Yeah, no, I remember.
If you can pronounce Iffy's name properly four times in a row, you will stop aging. So that's how he does it.
Yeah, that's the trick. That's the trick. Use my name to de-age you. it's wee good stuff.
So yeah, I'm excited to see the reunion, but I'm nervous about the Aunt Viv part. Cause you know those two actresses and that whole thing did not go down well.
I mean, it was wild that they're both in it. Everyone was kind of tripping out about that. So I just who knows? I need to I need to see it.
I think I'm gonna watch it, and then if it stresses me out, I'll go back and watch Animaniacs again.
Exactly. Have them both locked up. I'm both logged up, ready to go. So as soon as it gets stressful, you just turn it back on.
Yep. So are you watching? Do you watch anime at all? Do you have time to watch any TV?
Oh yeah. I love me some anime. Do I watch anime? Hold on.
I'm just checking. No, and.
Wow. I feel like that was a test to me.
I'm gonna leave JoJo and stuff over there because all this is falling. But just
that's what I'm saying. See, but it's just out of frame, so I couldn't tell. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. What you know about Big O? You know, Big O with the piston arms. You know, we're ready to go. I need to dust this whole area off. But yes, I do. I do enjoy anime.
What animes are you watching right now?
So right now, I'm working my way through JoJo. I'm gonna watch that, you know, in its completion. And then I just made a huge haul, so I'm rewatching DBZ. But you know, there's a lot of like new ones that popped out that I'm gonna check out. I think it's called something Kaijin or something. Let me see.
Oh, I think you're talking about Jujutsu.
Yes.
Yeah, Jujutsu Kaisen is really good. It's your standard cursed object. Yeah, the chat's blown up. Like Jujutsu Kaisen, yes. And JoJo is really good. I meant to ask you which JoJo you're watching, but I'm assuming it's the newer one.
Yeah, I'm working my way through it. So I just finished the first two. So I think it's the third one I'm watching now.
Got it.
Where it's in the 80s.
It's weird. I kind of like both. It's sort of like when you watch Full Metal. Like the differences are really in the art. I don't really feel for JoJo, I like the difference for me with Full Metal for me was a storyline. I felt like the homunculi were explained better. But
yeah.
Jujutsu Kaisen. Yo. And I think it's only four or five episodes deep right now.
Okay.
You can jump in on that. It's good. It's your standard sort of cursed object, you know, demons and warlocks fighting bad, you know, evil omens, but with one guy who's the everyman who happens to get possessed and, you know, I'm going to fight for what's good because there's always, you know, that guy.
You always got the guy who's going to fight for what's good.
Exactly. Like Naruto, although not Naruto. Yeah. I'm sorry, and I don't hate Naruto. I have a thing with like Sasuke don't want you. Sasuke didn't want any of y'all. If you could just have gotten over Sasuke, half the show could have been so much shorter. That's just me.
Yeah.
So do you like mech animes or do you like more of the shonen stuff you like? Now mech animes that are now. Are you only going back and watching old SSS Gridman and Gundams?
You mean like the Gundams I built right here? You mean like Mobile Suit Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans? You mean like You know, I love that. Those are my favorite. I love me a big boy. My favorite anime, my top one anime of all time is Tenshin Tapa Gurren Lagann. So I love me a big robo boy.
You love your big ass drill, huh?
Yeah, a big drill. And with that drill, we're going to pierce the heavens. You know?
Yes, we are. Also that, and I can, if I'm having a bad day, I can always watch the finale of that show when they are all end up like naked in the stratosphere fighting with their spirits, you know.
Yeah, someone explain that to me, because if you're aware, a lot of Studio Trigger's anime has like a lot of clothes ripping off, you know, that Kill la Kill. You know, it's like it's a lot of their clothes ripping off. Promare, they're like they're naked by the end of the movie. And what was explained was that Studio Trigger feels like clothes are like your defenses. You're blocking your true self. And when you're naked, you completely are comfortable with who you are and you're completely open. So that's why a lot of their protagonists, as they get stronger, they get naked, because it's like the layers of their personality peeling away.
That's what they told you? For Kill la Kill?
I mean, not for Kill la Kill, for all their stuff. For all their stuff. You know, they get naked in all, not just Kill la Kill. Kill la Kill was the first time it was like straight, like that was the story.
But you know what, though? But I will say this about Kill la Kill. I didn't mind Kill la Kill because everybody was getting naked. Remember the dude that was a nudist? And it was like an army of nudists fighting.
Oh yeah,
you know, dude. So I, you know, it was equal opportunity.
Yeah.
I thought that
wasn't your typical fan service. Everyone was
there. What's that one? I think it's also Studio Trigger where it takes two people to man the ship, and the girl always has to be in front, bent over.
Oh, you're thinking Darling in the LaFranks.
Darling in the Franks. I was like.
Yeah, that was who did that?
The animation in that show was incredible.
That is Trigger. That's how they had to operate it. See, that's you know, you just gotta remember that's how you operate it.
That's how you operate. Okay, but I know. So basically, it sounds like we like a lot of the same stuff. The thing that I'm actually working my way through was Lelouch. I never finished. I only seen that anime in pieces, and it's funny, and I know what he does, but it's one of those that I never fully finished, and the whole, you know, war with Britannia and everything like that. I like that, but I can go to sleep with Ghost in the Shell.
Oh yeah, listening. The intro, the opening, I used to go to sleep to that song by Yoko Kanno.
I can actually go to sleep to a Yoko Kanno soundtrack. The other one that I stumbled upon a couple of years ago that I really love is Blood Blockade Battlefront. And as a comedian, I think you'll like that one.
Okay, I'll check it out.
It takes place in actually New York. But New York has been split into like the spiritual world and the physical world have come together. So there's like aliens that are trying to catch like the F train, like everybody's sort of in the same realm. And Queens, like, you don't go to Staten Island anymore. You go to like the netherworld. So it's sort of they blend both of the worlds together, but the main characters who are part of a secret, you know, group of agents to keep the balance are called the agency is called Libra. And all of the characters within Libra are hilarious. Like, it's been a long time since I've seen like a shonen that just makes me cackle. And just the comedic. And the funny thing is, I thought it might just be the translation, but like even the voice actors they chose for both the Japanese version as the dub and the English version are just, they're all hilarious. So if you want a good laugh, Blood Blockade Battlefront. Okay. If you had to recommend an anime to somebody who basically is new to it. It's like, listen, I want to sit down and watch. Maybe, I guess sometimes I will offer an OVA before mm-hmm. I offer, you know, a bleach.
Yeah. I mean, I go with like the short run stuff. So my big one for noobs has always been like One Punch Man, because mm-hmm. even though they won't get, because One Punch Man is one of those things that some people would be like, why would you do that? Because it's a show that kind of is making fun of anime. But I think in that same way, they use a very Western humor on that show. So I think mm-hmm. it's easy to translate. And because they're constantly making fun of all these tropes, I think it'll make it easier for people to understand anime as an outsider when they go into more like intense stuff. And like, because I had a friend who was watching it and they loved it. And they're like, yeah, it was the only anime he watched. And he was like, I know they're making all these references, but he's like, but they're just making fun of other animes, right? I was like, yeah, that's pretty much the show. And so now that you know that, when you go into other anime, not only is that stuff going to be funnier, but you kind of come to expect it. But then my other one, I think, is like a Ghost in the Shell or a Cowboy Bebop, because I feel like those, since they have that kind of procedural,
Samurai Champloo.
Yeah. Like a procedural level to it, to where like, okay, I get the story. There's nothing hyper supernatural. Like, I think sci-fi is very digestible for most people, that they can follow it. And then you get into the wild, you know, crazy stuff, you know. And then we get to the Darling and the Franks.
Yeah, I don't. Anybody who's watching this, don't throw your friends into Darling in the Franks to start with if they've never watched anime. Yeah,
they're going
to
jump That's out of anime me. Totally. They're going to be God. Right out of it. Like, you know what? This is your thing. This is good. But my big thing, my new thing is like, if someone was a fan of Game of Thrones, then I'll suggest a Gundam to them. Because because I think, you know, people see Gundam and think it's this big, you know, big robots fighting. But really, it's a political drama. All the Gundams are political dramas. And I think if you're super into Game of Thrones, then you're into political dramas.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I also think that Code Geass, by the way, I'm sorry, I mentioned Lelouch and someone was like, what's Lelouch? Code Geass, that was what I was talking about before. Code Geass is another one that is totally political. That is the other thing I also liked about Ghost in the Shell, because Section 9, nobody wanted to acknowledge Section 9. Everybody hated Section 9 until they couldn't solve something, and then it was all about Section 9. And then, you know, so those are, I like things that, and then on top of that, the whole concept of what it is to be human, I like things that make me, you know, think as well. I'm curious, because you are a comedian, whether or not you've been able to do any comedy during the pandemic.
That's a good fun question. So I've done many different shows. I've done a lot of Zoom shows, done differently. If I had to pick my favorite show, Jenny Yang has a show where comedians do stand up in Animal Crossing.
I was going to bring that up. I love that show. And it was so weird because I was like, I don't have this. How do I do this? And then somebody sent me clips and I'm like, oh, now I have to do Animal Crossing.
Well, yeah. And also you can just join the Zoom call and because you can only have like 8 people in the island at a time. So mm-hmm. she has some like, you know, certified in-game clappers. You know, those are the VIP. They come to the Zoom early. They join on the island. And then everyone else watches via Zoom as it's kind of played out through Zoom.
Yeah, I think that's, have you been able to do that? Have you been able to?
Oh yeah, I've done it twice. I did the first one and then I did one a little while ago. It's very fun because like you get to do these act outs and Jenny does a real good job. She does the risky thing of having open mics in the Zoom call so that people can laugh and you hear laughter, which, you know, always has its dangers. But for the most part, you know, they've had a few, you know, knuckleheads, but for the most part, they've been pretty, pretty chill.
But also as a performer, that's probably the biggest thing that you miss, right? Having that sort of call and response with the audience.
Yeah. Exactly. And, you know, I've heard comics have many different takes on it. All my comedian friends, one of my friends really like it because they said, like, you know, crowd work is fun because you get to like roast people's backgrounds, you know, when they're looking like, oh, what you got back there? Oh, you got a baby Yoda, huh? You know, like, and so, but it's so funny. So, yeah.
Oh, and speaking of baby Yoda, have you been watching Mandalorian?
I haven't watched this one. This is going to be the wildest thing you've heard, but right, I think two or three episodes before the Mandalorian ended, I don't know what came over to me, but I had the hugest Star Wars fatigue. I didn't watch The Last Jedi. I didn't watch, like, I just was done. Like, I did just like, it was like my interest for all the Star Wars stuff just went, and I don't know why.
Had you been watching had you been watching like Rebels and all the, and Clone Wars?
Well, no, I've just been watching the movies and Mandalorian. And I think I was just watching Mandalorian back to back and watching the movies, and I was in, and you know, it just somewhere like between, I missed like the next episode and I just kind of let it go after that.
Okay. We're going to need you to get back on the wagon. Because everybody's going to spoil all the things for you.
Oh, yeah.
By the time you do catch up, and then it will be bad. You won't like it again. So try to finish it, because and here's the other thing. I think this season, I don't know if you've watched any of Jordan Peele's Twilight Zone, but I feel like this season is better than last season of Mandalorian, for the same reason that I like this season of that show, because it's like they went back, it's a half an hour, 40 minutes, mm-hmm. and they went back sort of to that thing of the week.
Yeah.
And so you didn't have to connect all the dots. There is a thread that goes through the whole thing.
Less prominent.
Right, exactly. Also, Giancarlo Esposito shows up and you missed that. And I don't want to tell you who he is. So you got to go back and finish the first one, first season. But it is, just like Lovecraft Country, don't binge it, because it'll be too much.
I will say one of the things
Don't tell me you didn't watch Lovecraft Country either.
Wait, I started it. I started. Okay. I'm on episode two. I was just taking a while because it was like, I don't like scary stuff. I'm a big scaredy cat. So I was holding off, and people were like, it's not that scary. But if people would have just pushed more how like sci-fi spooky monstery stuff, they would have got me. Like, here's the thing. I'm a big scaredy cat, but I love body horror and I love like sci-fi. Like I don't know if you saw Color Out of Space with Nick Cage, but like I love that movie. I love it. So like,
this is fine. If you can watch Color Out of Space, you can watch this. There are scary episodes, but here's the thing. I'm a scaredy cat too. Like, I haven't watched there's a bunch of horror movies that are classics, but if you were able to watch Color Out of Space and you were able to watch Shaun of the Dead, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
I mean, look, I've watched Scary. I've watched Hereditary, you know? Oh yeah. Well, that's what I was bringing it up for. The thing I like the most about Hereditary, Lovecraft Country, which I didn't think I needed, but you know, we got this period piece, you know, black movie that's taking place, and we know we're going to see racist white people. We know we're going to hear them call it the N-word, and they're going to have to deal with it. But when I say I got so hyped when they're in that town and they started shooting back, and I'm like, that's all I need. I want to see some movies where we start busting back, like, you know, because I know it definitely happened, but they always want to show the movies where we just, you know, dealt with the pain. I was like, nah, we were busting back sometimes, and let's get some of that on screen, because that's what I like to see.
Yeah, and you had said something like that, I think, on your show about Chris Rock, how Chris Rock was tired of these period pieces and history pieces, because there's only certain things that are brought up. Mm-hmm. But and what Lovecraft Country does so well, it blends the things that I love. Like, give me Black History with Cthulhu any day of the week. Like, and it turned, it took ownership of so much of what, of Lovecraft's inherent racism.
Yeah.
And turned it back on itself. And there are certain, look, I'm going to tell you, the whole season isn't perfect. I don't think any season, full season, is perfect of anything. But there are definitely some gems in there. There are definitely those first two or three episodes. I was like, oh my God, they're going to keep this momentum up? This is a lot. But it just goes to show you, like, Misha Green had a budget.
Yeah.
And
I mean, just in the opening alone, just the opening of the first episode lets you know they gave them a little, they gave them some money. They weren't skimping out on them.
Nope. And there are some of that shooting back that you're talking about. You're going to see more of that. And again, I don't want to give it away, but there, you're even going to see, I mean, you've probably heard by now that there is an episode that talks about Tulsa, but even they deal with Tulsa different than Watchmen did. Like, you get to see Tulsa before it gets torn up. And that's what people don't realize, because we keep seeing one or two black and white pictures of the town and how beautiful everything was, and then bodies, you know? And I think that is what I'm looking forward to seeing. Like, if any of this, I don't know if we want to call it a renaissance, because we, it feels like every 20 or 30 years, people remember there's black people here that can create stuff. But whatever comes out of this, you know, newfound interest in, you know, black creatives, writers, culture, stories, I hope we get more of this. I really love blending fantasy and science and things like that with our stories. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a period piece dealing with racism. I just love it that we're like, there's not just one character. There are several different characters, and not all of them are good. You know, I mean, you've watched a lot more movies than I have in the past year. Can you think of any other movies that have done that, or shows that have done that? I think since Watchmen, because it doesn't look like we get another one of those. I really feel like if only these shows could get more of a chance, though. Like, I guess in a pandemic that you can't renew everything, but I think it's a shame that halfway through the first season of this show that it wasn't renewed, you know, and that they're still looking to possibly figure out a way to do a second one.
The second what?
It hasn't been renewed. So right now there's only one season of Lovecraft Country.
And it hasn't been renewed?
It hasn't been renewed. And there's a lot of dumb shows out there that are getting renewed.
Yeah, I know. It's very interesting, because HBO is like, they take really good risk and really good risks on creators of color. Like, I May Destroy You, you know, things like, you know, Lovecraft Country, Watchmen. But it is interesting how, like, I don't know the metric they operate on, because you're right, you'll get like these dope shows and they don't get renewed, and then you have 27 seasons of Ballers, which, you know, no disrespect to Dwayne and my old neighbor who was guest starring and who was a series regular guest star in that show. But I'm like, when you compare like something on with a show with weight, and I think it ends up probably coming down to just the money, you know, like I think for Lovecraft Country, the amount of money that it looks like they spent, they probably wanted that Game of Thrones level, you know, frothing at the mouth, which is like, you're not going to be able to get that right now. And I think it's really rough to judge shows on the same metric right now, because people aren't getting it. Also, y'all just launched now. TiVo just dropped HBO from their, I mean, not TiVo, Roku just dropped HBO. Yeah, I was going to say,
wait, who's watching? Who's got, still got a TiVo? Wait. Yeah. I mean,
Roku. I had to go and buy an Apple TV so I can finally watch HBO on my TV again. Because like, and they still haven't worked out a deal. So that's a huge viewer base that, you know, HBO a loss, because like not everyone's like me who's just gonna go and get, you know, this for the TV. Some people are looking at it as an opportunity to cut one less subscription off. They're like, okay, well, this is gone, let me turn it off. You know, I think, you know, it's very easy to get caught up in the like circle of Twitter of all our cinephile TV file friends who are willing mm-hmm. to break the budget on TV. But I think your average viewer, if, you know, if Roku drops HBO, they're just not going to sub anymore, because that's one less thing they have to pay for since they can't watch it on the TV. So yeah, I think that's what HBO is feeling. And unfortunately, a lot of their newer shows are going to end up taking the hit for it until they figure out something.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. If I didn't, I have the Roku cast, and if I didn't have the screeners, I wouldn't have been able to watch it on my Roku either, because I have a Roku TV. We watch most of our HBO on the PS4 because we ain't balling like you. We ain't got the PS5 yet, but you know, I'm grinding. I told you, it's Patreon coming, so maybe I can be big like you one day. So before I let you go, I want you to tell us what games you're playing when you're not forced to play them, what anime you're watching when you get a chance to chill, and what movie you would recommend when you are not being forced to watch one for one of the shows.
Well, first and foremost, whenever I do any of those things for money, I don't feel like I'm being forced. It is fun, and I feel like I'm finessing the system, and I'm not asking how it works. I'm just accepting it as it comes and answering those questions. The anime that I'm watching is, I think I'm going to start on the Jujutsu Kaisen.
Yes.
Jujutsu Kaisen. Get in on that. Game I'm playing is Apex Legends. Apex Legends has had an interesting ride here. They kind of opened up with a surprise drop to huge popularity, kind of got stale. Then they came out with a new season. People got into it, kind of got stale. And now it's kind of bounced between that, and they really haven't been able to retain up until this newest season, where they added a new map, new character, and they fully reworked everything. And now I can't put it down. I'm playing it nonstop. I'm sure my chat is like, when is Iffy going to get back to playing the other games? No time soon. It's Apex Legend nonstop, because it's great. You know, it's going toe to toe with Warzone, which has been pretty, really getting clobbered by your like Warzone and Fortnite. But Fortnite will always be on top. But and there's nothing anyone will ever do about it. But yeah, it's going great.
My first of all, my producer is having such a great night tonight, because she wants me to play all these games. I have Apex Legends downloaded. I actually just got a Bangalore for my birthday. Somebody just my boyfriend got me that. Wait, I can't be as fly as you because my camera's not as good, but I got my little Bangalore.
Ooh, I love Bangalore. Bangalore is great. Love a good Bangalore, man. That looks solid.
Yeah, it's the Weta one. The Weta Digital, the Weta Works one that was created.
Don't worry, I'm already on the website. Don't even worry. Yeah.
And so she's really excited, because there's a Apex Legends that they play right here on OSMYC. So I'm going to take all of that to heart. Also, there's a couple questions in the chat I got to ask you. Somebody's asking, when are you hopping back on to record with Cody and Brody? They miss you.
Cody and Broadster. Oh, look, it's happening sooner than you think. We're constantly, you know, we're in a group chat together. They're CMI. I'm working on a rap EP. They're getting ready. They're listening to all the dumb stuff that I've been recording for that. So just know, soon. Don't you worry. That's the word. Don't you worry.
And you know what? I meant to ask you this. Somebody's asking, can you share the info about the Animal Crossing comedy? Is the Zoom still live? Is it recorded? Or do you have to watch it when you're...
I'll double check and tweet it out. But I think for now, they're taking a hiatus for Comedy Crossing.
Can we see the ones that you've done already?
Let's see. No, I think it's live. It's live. That's the one thing that's still live. You can't rush it. But you know, I'll talk to Jenny, see if maybe she can release some pre-taped ones for the public.
So okay. So when you talk to her, ask her if she'd like to come on the show too.
Okay, I can definitely do that too.
The other question somebody's asking is, ask Iffy how he feels about Spider-Man Miles Morales downgrading from his Jordan 1s to some dusty Adidas. Damn.
Look, you know, everyone needs to make a quick buck. So, you know, if that's what they had to do to get their, you know, their win going, then sure. I mean, you know, I don't approve of it, but, you know, it definitely does be like that sometimes.
And somebody else is asking, see, I was going to ask this question, but I got chicken. So I'm glad you're asking this. Do you have any game recommendations for non-gamers?
Game recommendations for non-gamers. I think that, you know, the obvious one is something like Among Us. It's like a party game, Werewolf. I think everyone's going to have fun with that. Non-gamers would also like something like a Stardew Valley. That's simple to pick up and great. If you are pretty nice on the controller, Hades. It's a roguelike. And if you don't know what a roguelike is usually like a randomized multi-map game that when you die, you start all the way over. Like, it doesn't save anything. With Hades, it does actually save. There are certain stats that you can improve.
I was going to say, that sounds stressful.
There's currency that you get. So you get the fun of the randomness of a roguelike, but it's not as heartbreaking because as you die, you get stronger. The more you lose, the better you get.
The more you die, the better you get. Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. And that was my producer asking that question. Nice. You did that for me, didn't you, Crystal? Everybody wants. Here's the thing. There's been this fallacy that of me not gaming. That is not true. I game alone with no camera on me. That's all it is. I have an aversion.
It's time to put a camera in front of you. It's time to put a camera right in front of you.
But thank you so much. If you please tell us all where, like, in succession out right now, tell us what day and where to find you and where to watch you and where we can find you on social media.
Well, you can find me at Iffy Wadiwe on Twitter and Instagram. That's the number one place I think you should check, because that's usually where I say I'm streaming. I don't have like a set schedule yet. I'm going to start having a set schedule just also to limit how much time I whist away. But I'm working on a lot of things, both in the gaming world, both in the TV world. So definitely stay tuned because, you know, hopefully I'll have a whole bunch of fun stuff to announce in a couple of months.
And I got to cop me one of those IFDs t-shirts because those are hot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Those are on Design by Humans. Get you a IFD shirt. Oh, I'll send you one. You don't have to get one.
Oh, thank you. But everybody, this has been so much fun. Clearly, somebody wants me to game. We're supposed to be talking about technology stuff.
Looks like that's your next step is gaming.
Apparently, in front of people.
Yeah. Yeah, not just by yourself anymore.
I just want to thank you. I love all the stuff that you're working on, Iffy. I agree in terms of Twitter. Whenever I see you, you're always bringing the realness. You are not mincing words. But intelligently, you're not just fighting just to fight. You are literally having real conversations with people. And I also love the fact that you bring that same energy to all the stuff that you do. Wherever I see you, you're authentic every place you are. And I think that authenticity is what we need more of right now. So I want to thank you. And at one point, hopefully, like I said, I want to be you when I grow up and get a nice big PS5 and a nice big expensive iPhone.
Look, I didn't even get the PS5 or the Xbox. So I'm right there. You just like me, you know, all I got is this iPhone and this ain't playing no new games. This ain't Miles Morales ain't on here.
But I really am a fan and I can't wait to see what you do next. Always tag me on whatever you're doing because I will definitely pick you up on Twitter. I really appreciate you coming by the show. Isn't Iffy hilarious? Now, in the show notes, I'm going to have links to Iffy's new podcast and Twitch stream. And if you follow him, please tell him I sent you. Also, please support my Patreon page. Don't forget, patreon.com/theblurgirl. And check out the Self app so you can get that credit score up. And again, if you really like this episode, please leave a comment and a rating over on iTunes. And feel free to subscribe there or on your favorite podcatcher. Please stay safe. Wash your hands. Wear your masks. And keep your eye on the Blur Girl Twitter page for some great stuff coming up. I will see you next episode.